You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Wednesday, November 16th, and I've been kind of enjoying getting into some of the nitty-gritty details of a couple of these etudes this week. Specifically about some of these notes being long, and I hadn't really been paying attention to these notes being long before, so I kind of want to show you that because it's pretty cool and it's, I think, going to lead to some things that I'm not quite even sure where they're going to go yet about the interpretation of the pieces, and also, of course, the technique of the pieces, too. So the first one is 25 number 3 that I want to show you. So this is a piece that I have been listening to since I was a little kid. I don't really remember not knowing this melody. But what I'm finding out is that I heard this melody a little bit wrong as a kid. So I always thought the tune was... Right, so not completely off from what it is, but the note that is different is this. And what actually it is... And then it goes here, which you'll notice is a place where I just stumbled. So I have had this in my ear for pretty much my whole life, and now I'm having to realize that reality is different from what I thought it was. So this kind of shows me a little bit why I'm having some trouble with that spot. I mean, it's not impossible to play, but it's just like a tiny little bit of discomfort in my mind. And I think that that's what it is. So it's kind of nice to figure that out. But I said I was going to show you long notes. So let me show you this. So what's actually going on here is that it may not even be that this is really the most important melody here. You might remember I spent a while practicing this just with my thumbs, which I think was important to get to the positions. But actually... we have the thumb going up to this. We have these octaves, right? But then there's also this middle voice, and this is what I really wanted to show you. So I don't know if you can hear, but the middle note stays. Let me try and sing it with you. Da, da, dum, da, dum. Da dum da dum dee dum oops da dum dee dum dee dum dee dum. I won't make you listen to me singing through all of them, but so now let me, without singing, play it and see if you can hear it. Right? It's a subtle thing, but it's really different from this, which is how I was kind of thinking of it before I was getting into my looking carefully phase this week. Okay, so that, what I just played, where the note doesn't stay, but it just goes to the top, is actually what happens towards the end. And there's a really, really cool thing that happens at the end that also relates to how I learned this by ear listening to it as a kid, which is that at the end, he puts accents on the top notes. So it's short accent, short accent, short accent, 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 accent. He has accents a couple other places in the piece. But what that does is it totally displaces the rhythm. So listen to this, or it displaces the beat in the measure, or kind of even moves the whole bar line, actually. Here it sounds like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, whoops, 1, 2, 3 without the whoops. So it's not, it's 1 and 2 and 1, 3 and. So this is the beat. But it kind of doesn't sound like it because he has the lowest note in the left hand on the offbeat, right? So it's 1 and 2 and 3 and. So if I don't accent it with the way the bar line is, if I don't sort of emphasize the hierarchy of the beat in the measure, it sounds like, here it goes, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. But it's not. It's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So I think what he's getting at, and this is actually the kind of thing I think of as Brahms sort of territory instead of Chopin territory, but I think he really wants us to hear the beginning of the piece as the beat is here. So I think we really hear the beat where it is, hopefully. But I think at the end, it jumps. Like it jumps over the bar line and becomes upbeat, downbeat instead of just downbeat, upbeat. So it becomes. Do you hear that? It's kind of a subtle thing, but I think it's going to be kind of a cool way of having the piece sort of get more exciting as it goes on. The other thing is that this held note, lends this kind of feeling of urgency or almost a little bit being ill at ease. It's like things aren't quite resolved. So I'm going to play this for you. I'm going to try to remember to do the right things at the right times, which is no guarantee that that's going to happen today. Also, I have to confess, I have not been super careful about dynamics yet. I've just been thinking about length of notes, so just the dynamics are probably not there. But let me try playing this for you from memory, and let me try and be careful about that kind of thing. So I'm going to try to point out when the notes are long and when they're short, not by saying, but hopefully playing it. One other thing I wanted to tell you is that, oh, there's a spot that I just learned wrong that I have to relearn. I probably won't get it right in this playthrough, but the second time this thing happens and it resolves, instead of doing this, which is the same as before, it does this. So I learned that left hand right. I learned it wrong. So I'm going to try and fix that, but it may not happen this time through. So I'm going to play this from memory, and we're going to see how it goes. This is 25 number 3. So that was a disaster. So the end cadence points, I still don't have the jumps. I'm fine here, but here I just panic because it's so different. I need to really get in there and practice that a lot, which I already have done, but I need to really get that. I think I mostly I played the accents where they were, but I sometimes played them where they weren't. So that's not ideal. I need to be really, really super clear about that. So I'm going to keep going through this piece next week, really trying to think about the accents where they are and also where they aren't. And maybe I'll add in a little bit of dynamics too. The left hand, I have to admit, does not feel great when I play this. I need to make sure that I really release in between. So like here, this is a little bit awkward. I mean, the first one is actually fine, but I need to make sure that I don't hold tension when I'm here and that I really release it in the middle. So release, 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 release. And I don't always do that, so I need to make sure that I choreograph that in. Anyway, that's what's going on with 25 number 3. The other one that kind of goes really nicely with this one is 25 number 5. And you know, I'm getting to a point working on these. I've been doing this for almost a year now where I'm finding all of these comparisons between the etudes, and it really is different to work on a big chunk of them instead of just working on one at a time. I feel like I'm starting to see those benefits, and that's a pretty cool feeling. So, I feel like 25.5 actually has a lot of similarities to 25.3, so let me show you that. This is mostly memorized, but not quite. But let me show you a little bit what's going on here. So this one kind of changes more or less every 8 bars. Sometimes it's every 4 bars. The pattern changes just a little bit. So here's the main pattern, or the first pattern. I don't know if it's exactly the main pattern, but... Okay, so kind of like this, right? We have this. Now, I think that the melody is this and not this. So that means I have to work a little bit to voice to the top, right? Anyway, so the left hand to start with is doing these rolled chords, which are not always so easy. I swear that lately all of these feel like the left hand is what's hard. Even the winter wind. I'll get to that in a little bit. So we have these rolls, and then we do this. So here the left hand is different. And then we jump up here. We have more rolls. Then we're just, then the left hand becomes a little bit waltzy. Right hand is the same. Oops. And then we climb. Then we roll on the left hand like we did before, but instead of the top note being short, the top note is now long. So I can't actually make it legato because it's just not physically possible, at least not with my hands, it's not. But I'm going to sort of pretend. So now instead of it being this, it's going to be theoretically. And then just to give you one more little item on this laundry list of all these different articulations, or yeah, you know what I mean. It goes to straight eights. Okay, so let me actually play through that. I'm going to try and do it from memory. We'll see how it goes. And I'm actually going to try and play through the whole thing from memory, which I did this morning in my practice session, but we'll see if I can do it for you. I'm not going to try and call out all the different little articulation points, but I just kind of wanted to show you that before I play it for you. So see if you can hear them, and I'll see if I can do them. And we'll see how it goes. This is 25 number 5, by the way. Oops, there we go. Kind of. There are some moments that it worked. It's coming. It's not there. Oh, I was going to tell you, and I'll tell you now. I figured out what's going on in the end, even though I can't play it well yet. But I was, if you remember last week, I was talking about this end is so weird, and he has this note held down for a really long time. And he still has it held down. And it still has these notes held down. Now, the thing is that even on the modern piano, which has a really long sustain, meaning the notes last for a really long time, these notes are not going to last. Like, listen to this note. It's gone. So I was thinking, why did he do that? Why does he want them held? What's going on here? And I figured it out, even though I can't play yet well. So basically, the reason that he's holding down these notes is that when he goes to this, he's completely he's taking advantage of the harmonic series on the piano. So this pattern is what he climbs up, but he doesn't go do it from the very bottom. He does this. Then he starts doing all the notes. So if these notes are already held, I'm pressing them down silently, and I'm not going to use the pedal. Hear that? So they're going to catch. Anyway, so it's cool that he's doing it that way. Now I need to do it so that I can do it without getting sort of awkward and not doing it well. But at least I figured out what was going on, which was nice. And part of the way that I figured that out was finding a little trick, which I am going to show you right now. This is a teeny trick, so don't get too excited. But when he does this chord, he then has this chord come right after it. So now I can't hold the pedal, right? If I hold the pedal, that doesn't work. The sound's all muddy and it's this chord, which is ugly. I mean, it's actually kind of cool in like a Sondheim Broadway poppy kind of way, but not appropriate for Chopin. But if I do this, and now I'm going to very quietly, hopefully silently, with my pinky, put that B back down to the bottom. And now with my right hand, I'm going to play this D sharp. Then there it is. So it ends up being this. Isn't that nice? What I was doing before was, it just felt sort of awkward and weird, but this works nicely. I'll just play you this end again. Oh, when I was playing you what he does in the harmonic series before, I played it wrong. Sorry about this, but this is what it is. Anyway, I will have that end much more polished by next week. I hope that's the plan. So I hope you can see how this one and 25-3 kind of work nicely together. By the way, you, I'm sure, heard, but the B section of this thing is still a disaster. It's really lumpy. So I need to get it so that it's, you know, clean and polished and beautiful and soft, for the love of all that's holy. It's really kind of truck-like. So that was actually better, what I just did now, than what I did before. So the B section has miles to go before I sleep on this thing. But as I think I mentioned before, I worked on this piece when I was in college. So a long, 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 long time ago. And I remember feeling like my hands were going to break. Like, I remember this felt horribly uncomfortable. Every single one of these felt awful. And this felt awful. So it doesn't feel awful now. Like, it doesn't hurt at all, which is really, 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 really nice. So I'm going to give myself a little bit of credit for that, for it feeling fine, even though I don't love the way I'm playing it yet. But I think if I can get this B section making sense and really feeling good and get the right hand under control, I think I'm going to like how I play this. It feels like it's going to come, hopefully, not too painfully. I don't mean painfully, like physically painfully, but, you know, intellectually and emotionally painfully. Okay, so that's what's going on with that. So my big plan for the Winter Wind Etude, or my big goal for the Winter Wind Etude lately, has been to find some tempo at which I could play the first page without missing a bunch of notes, which you wouldn't think would be that hard. I mean, I can do it like really, really slowly, but life is short. Nobody wants to do it that slowly. So I have found a tempo at which I can play it. Let's see if I can do it for you. I have many times this week played it nice and clean all the way through the first page and felt really good about it. That tempo, unfortunately, is 100 beats instead of 140 beats. And I said to a friend of mine who was in teaching a class through the wall, or, you know, next door to my office, and he said, "It's sounding good." And I said, "Well, it's 40 beats under tempo." And he said, "Just get it one beat up per day, and in a month and a half, you'll have it." So I thought that was a nice way of thinking about it. Anyway, so this is going to be under tempo, but I'm going to try and play this for you. I'm going to play through the whole piece for you, actually. It's memorized. Again, we'll see if I can do it for you, but it has been memorized pretty solidly. My goal is to play the first page clean, and then after that, we'll just let the chips fall where they may. So hopefully I can do this. This is a Winter Wind Etude 25, number 11, under tempo and still with lots of work to do. Thank you. So that's a mess. I didn't do my first page nice and clean. It was a little bit faster than I wanted to play it. But I decided to keep going through just to have the experience of playing through the whole thing. It does feel more cohesive now. I think it is getting better. It's just totally not there. And I have to say the left hand in so many places is what's hard. Like this thing, this horrible thing is just ridiculous. That's the left hand. I know I've been complaining about that measure for a long time, basically since I started this piece, but it's ridiculous. Anyway, I don't have that right there. It just, maybe someday my hands will magically grow or it just, anyway, it's terrible. We'll see. I'll work on it. So anyway, that's what's going on with the ones that have been sort of on the front burner. I've started looking at 25 number one. Oh, hi. I've started looking at 25 number one. That was Ben saying hi to me. Yeah, hi. So let me just show you a little bit of how this is going. I've mostly just been practicing the first page or so and thinking about really just how the hands feel and making sure that I'm doing nice big arm circles and sort of thinking about the voicing of it. So let me just play you the very beginning of this. Okay, so obviously I wasn't exactly sure what was happening in the left hand towards the end there. But that's basically what's going on with that. I have not really honestly started working on this piece. I've just been kind of reading through the first page. So this week I'm actually going to go through and practice it and start thinking about all the harmonies. I think I'm probably going to do a little bit of this kind of thing just to make sure that I know what all the harmonies are. So I'm doing this right now from memory, except here I'm not sure what it is. Yeah, so the places where I know, that works really nicely. So I'll go through and make sure that's in place too. So I may play you kind of a silly oompah version of this next week. But if it doesn't seem like it's helpful, then I won't. But I'll probably do that. So you can expect to hear more of the beautiful harp etudes. So I think that'll be nice. That's pretty much all I've got. I am not going to improvise for you today. It's a horrible rainy day and I'm actually in the middle of my work day and I just grabbed a little bit of time to do this podcast. So I'm not going to improvise for you next week for you this week. I will improvise for you next week. And then the only other thing I wanted to tell you, which you might be able to hear, is that I've had these glimmers, just like teeny moments in the past couple of weeks of feeling like I'm actually in shape at the piano. Not that I'm in shape all the time at the piano. I'm not there. If you just started listening, I have a toddler who's one I just said hi to a minute ago. And I quit playing piano for 4 months when I had him because I just couldn't do it. So learning these etudes and also being a new mom, and I'm constantly striving for balance, but I haven't really gotten myself to the point where I feel like I'm totally in shape at the piano yet. And part of what learning these etudes is about is really getting myself there and hopefully having that be much better than it was before. But anyway, so I had a couple of moments where I just felt like, oh, there it is. Now the piano's doing what I want it to do. Now my arms are doing what I want. Now my hands are doing what I want. Now it's working. And then, of course, it went away. But I've had a couple of moments, and I think that's really exciting. It's really exciting for me to have felt that again. Because it's such an amazing, amazing feeling to be really in shape at your instrument, and I have missed it a lot. And I hope to get there. So I just want to let you know I'm having a couple minutes of that, and I hope for more. I'll let you know about how that goes too. And that's pretty much what I've got. So that's it. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swigger. You can find out more at playitagainswig.com or leave me comments or questions, and I would love that. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy.